Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Yasir Qadhi welcoming you to the MuslimMatters.org podcast. For more quality media, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'dihi wa nasta'gfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihi allahu falamudilla lah wa man yudlil falahadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اعلموا عباد الله أن أحسن الكلام كلام الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the hearing that took place yesterday in the capital Thursday, that's March 10, 2011, was a historic event for the Muslim community in America, regardless of the purpose of it, and regardless of the outcome that's going to come out of it. And sometimes, wallahi, I wonder how many Muslims in America, they're aware of that hearing, if they even heard about it, or was the whole purpose of it to begin with. Talking to so many Muslims around in different communities, Many of them unaware of the surroundings, let alone to even pay attention to what's going on in the local news. Most of their focus goes internationally. They focus on other things. They don't even know what's going on and what's been actually planned for them in their own neighborhoods. You see, for those who didn't pay attention, was the Committee on Homeland Security was holding a hearing yesterday. It was one of the of maybe many to come. When holding that hearing that entitled The Extent of Radicalization in the American Muslim Community and that community's response. So they're basically there talking about you. Whether you like it or not, whether it's your business or not, they're talking about you. And they now base this on assumption as if the Muslim community is responsible for every single radical who walks on earth. That happened to be a Muslim. They assume based on this that the hearing is asking what this Muslim community living in America, what did it do to counter that kind of radicalization in the community? What is response? As if we're responsible for it to begin with. Now, regardless of the outcome of it and the purpose of it, which is actually was attended by so many representatives, and many of them are also against it and even criticized that. And others were supportive on this. So if you were listening, if you've been watching it, if you've even read actually the text of all these testimonies and witnesses, what they said, you should, as a Muslim, be concerned. You should pay attention to that. And you should focus on what is really more important to you. I mean, that is the well-being and the welfare of your community as being part of this whole fabric of the society. It is very crucial for you as a Muslim to see and hear and learn what exactly is going around you. Now again, regardless of all this criticism, which has unfortunately, we believe that this all has been going on because of these fear-mongering people and group and hate groups and Islamophobes, those who always try to just find an excuse to keep their criticism and attack to the Muslim community. Now regardless again, whether we accept that or not, it just happened and it took place. Many people, they went out, expressed their concerns, and they tried to reason with the head of these committees and others. But unfortunately, it just kept going on, and it happened just yesterday. It is so sad, wallahi, that since September 11th, the tragic day of September 11th, 10 years since then, and the Muslims, they tried their best. And being a very young community, comparing to other communities that arrived to this country, the Muslim community is a very young community. And it's heavily, actually, immigrants-based community. Whether on leadership position, particularly on the leadership positions, and also other aspects of that community, it's heavily based still on first-generation of Muslims. Which means, regardless what you throw and how you try to do it, in the eye of the average American citizen, you still look and sound even foreign to them. And unfortunately, because of that, many people they were hearing and they were just basically paying attention to all these fear-mongering groups and hate groups, because they definitely believe that this must be foreign because they speak differently, or they have an accent, or even actually they look different. It is unfortunate that they were targeting one group. It's basically faith-based community. And this in this society didn't happen since back in the 1941, the Second World War, with the Japanese community. So eventually, since then, it never happened again to single one community, whether based on ethnicity, backgrounds, or faith, until this age and this time, and we're going back again into that same circle. Now, alhamdulillah, many people actually stood against these kind of approaches and these trends in our community and society. But then when you think about it, and when you check the Muslim community from within, being an imam for many years in this society, visiting so many Muslim communities, I honestly sometimes cannot really put the blame on anyone but the Muslim community. Why is that? Because the Muslim community up to this day is not yet up to the level where you expect them to be engaged in the civil society in the best way possible. How is that? You see, when you check with the Muslim community, I go and do so many open houses in Muslim society, communities, and Islamic centers. And I remember after many years I spent in West Texas, and then I moved to the Midwest for 1 year. My first open house in that new center that I'm serving right now in the Midwest, I used to serve in the Midwest, my first open house, after giving a presentation about Islam and Muslims in general, one of the attendees asking the question, says, "This is all beautiful," which means amazing information. "This looks so nice and so beautiful. But what does this community," they're talking about the exact Islamic center itself and the community that really built that magnificent building and center. "What is this community doing to its local community, the area where they live in? What activities do you guys do?" And I just stood there, and honestly, I didn't have an answer. First of all, because I was barely new, I just had a few weeks actually in the community, I said, "You know what? My answer was, I'm still new in the area, but I'm sure our community have their own records on their participation in their own local communities." Checking afterwards, not so many. Even though there were, but not so many. And I'm asking you the question. Check for yourself, your own record. Forget about the Muslim community or the Islamic center. Your individual and personal records. How many times you volunteered in this community, whether in a library, in a public actually event, or something that's beneficial for the community and the society. How many rallies have the Muslims been doing in this community? I've been here for just about 7-8 months right now. I heard about maybe 4-5, if not even more, rallies happening in this community. Every almost weekend there's a rally going in downtown. But for what? For a legitimate cause. Going for Egypt, for Tunisia, for Libya, for Gaza, and so on. But then I asked the Muslim community, how many times you walked in a rally in order to help promote things very, very close to you, such as health reform to your own community? How about the public school system, the schools, your education, the education of your own children? What about other things very important to your own community? How many of us have done that? And I'm asking around. Unfortunately, I cannot really find many people who will be doing these things. So because of that, we've always been looked at as foreigners or strange community until this day. The reason I'm saying that is because I believe if the Muslims want to have a future for themselves and this society, then it's in their hand to make these kind of hearings look ridiculous in the eye of the average American citizen, because they knew who the Muslims were. Because when things like these happen, and they already have so many encounters with beautiful, beautiful people, mashallah, from the Muslim community, on almost every level, schools, education, and the city, everywhere, when they see this kind of engagement, when they see that, and then they hear about these kind of hearings happening, they would laugh at it. Why? Because they know that it's all wrong. How could you do that when we know these people, they're always around us? I know we had, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, amazing, amazing individual success stories as Muslim community. You have successful doctors, successful engineers, successful teachers, alhamdulillah, successful almost in every aspect and walks of this life. We have so many successful business people in this society, but they're all as individual success stories. You can't put them together in order to serve as a Muslim community. Except for few. May Allah reward them for everything they're doing. But we have so many success stories, but they cannot be put together as a collective success story for the Muslim community. So when tomorrow someone talk about what the Muslim community contributed to this local community, you will say, we have a wonderful record that we can bring to you. I'm not talking here about PR records, just to do some activities here and there to show that, you see, we have done something. I'm talking about sincere, genuine participation to bring benefit to this society. And again, the reason I'm saying that is because we believe as Muslims, it is our responsibility. Not just because we live here as a minority. No, it's because our duty in life as Muslims to bring this civil life to the world. And that was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In these few minutes, I would like to share with you some of the Prophet sallallahu wasallam examples in this civil engagement in the society. And you shall see how amazing that involvement in all aspects of life. Even some of these engagement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the civil society were before the establishment of the community of Medina. Here is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, before even he went to Medina, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, he met the group of people who came from Medina itself. And he had that deal with them. We call it Bay'atul Aqaba al-Kubra. And Bay'atul Aqaba al-Sughra. There was the minor Aqaba. There was a meeting at one ridge during the Hajj season where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa he met with the people there and he made a contract with them. That contract that he would move to their area. In return, they would support that cause and that society and establish with him based on the principle that he brought to them sallallahu alayhi. And they gave him their pledge even before the establishment of the state. So to have a civil engagement and a civil society, you don't have to have a state to begin with. People can do that even in times of crisis. Look at Egypt. Look at Libya. Look at a country like Tunisia even before that. During that time, and that time of crisis, many people, they established their own civil communities and institutes to serve their local community and people. Look at Afghanistan and Iraq and other places. Everywhere there's a crisis, you will see people stepping up in order to serve others. That is a sign of a healthy civil community. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established that way even before the establishment of the state of Medina, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And when he went to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started organizing the efforts. And he made it obligatory upon every Muslim to leave the state of Badawa, which means to leave being a Bedouin in the desert, and come and live in that civil society in Medina, Al-Hijra, until the conquest of Mecca. And then that was it. The society now expanding out, instead of just being introversive into one local cities like Al-Madina or Yathrib. So the Prophet ﷺ was calling people to get together, to establish a society. Come together, so that we can build a community all together. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the Bedouins, those who do not live in these kind of organized civil societies, Al-A'rabu ashaddu kufra wa nifaqa. They're actually the Bedouins, they're the desert people, nomads. They're more prone to kufr, disbelief and hypocrisy. Why is that? Because they don't believe in organized system. And many Muslims, many people, not just Muslims, today, even though they live in cities, in urban areas, but they live like Bedouins, like nomads. We don't believe in organization. We believe in anarchy as a society. But here is now the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promoting that civil society and civil engagement. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he arrived in Medina, established a very important principle. Nothing that they never heard before that about this beautiful principle from a leader such as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, Ashura. That principle of counseling one another. Based on what? Based on the validity of the opinion, not the power and strength of the lobby that promoting that cause. So here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being given the command, even while he was in Mecca. In Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ, describing the people of Islam, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that their affair amongst themselves is based on shura, counseling. You counsel one another, advice to one another. Even though they were still in Medina, there were no traces of society whatsoever. They were oppressed and suppressed and they were chased out. Still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon them that no one was allowed to make individual decisions that will affect the livelihood of the entire community and the society. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And then when they went to Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and always consult them in these affairs. So even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had that divine guidance from Allah azza wa jal, if anyone can be a tyrant in terms of making decision, it would be him. Because he had that now from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that power from Allah azza wa jal. But he was instructed to be the person who consult and counsel with others. To show the importance, the superiority of that principle, that you always ask and you always take opinions from the people from around you. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, and one of these principles of a civil society is the establishment of institutions. Things that people they can be proud of, that serve the whole community. And the moment he arrived, ﷺ, he stayed in the house as a guest for some time with Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda. And then he ordered the establishment of the first institution in the history of Islam. Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For us, masajid, they serve only for salah, unfortunately, in many Muslim societies. But here in America, it's closer to be like the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of role and function than being a masjid in any other Muslim community. Because in these masajid, you have so many things happening. It's a place for education. It's a place of service. It's like a second home for the people. People, they always find comfort when they come to this place because there is something going on all the time for them. And even if they have dispute, they would come and they ask for opinions and ask for arbitration help. That's the role of the institution back then, Adam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, living in a society like ours, all these institutions become independent right now. But still at least, you as a Muslim believe in that role of these institutions. Now, Peter King, the representative actually King, the head of the same committee, 2007, he was complaining that, you know, there are too many masajid and mosques in America. He's bothered by that, subhanAllah. Thinking that this is another source of radicalization. But me and you, we all know what the purpose of these masajid are. It's to bring that principle of civilization and civil life to the community. How many masajid you've visited in your life outside your city, and they all have the same beautiful function, reaching out to the community, helping out, becoming like a home for other people, eventually would help one another. It's an amazing thing, unfortunately, how they misinterpret the growth of these Islamic institutions. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam made also part of these individual roles of every Muslim is that you make sure that you follow the rule. You follow the rule and you make everybody else also follow the rule. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-din al-nasiha. Qala ad-din al-nasiha means the deen is sincerity. It's not just giving advice, it's to be sincere when it comes to interaction with people. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, liman? To whom, Ya Rasulullah? Qala lillah. First of all, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means when you believe in Allah azza wa jal, sincerely believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa li rasulihi, for his messenger. When you're sincere about following the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you believe in him. وَلِيَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, the leaders of your own community. وَلِيَعَمَّتِهِمْ, and the average person. So we would command as individuals to make sure you have that sincerity when you deal with people. لَا خِلَابَ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught one man who was complaining people, they always deceive him because they think of him, you know, easygoing and they can get away with things with him. The Prophet ﷺ, he told him to say, whenever he deals with people, tell them, لا خلاف, which means there may be no deceit. To remind them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you deal with me honestly and sincerely. As Muslims, that's our responsibility. Not just with the Muslim community, with everybody. When you know something is wrong, you stand for this and relieve and alleviate suffering of others. And whenever something is good, you go and you thank and you promote that which is good. That's one of the greatest principles of Islam. Al-amru bil-ma'ruf wal-nahyu anil-munkar. You enjoin good and you forbid evil. What is that? Adhan, you always engage in a civil society. When there's a grievance, there's a complaint, you go and you beg the first person to go and stand up for your rights. But in the right and the proper way. It's not just only complaining about that which is bad. Where are you when there are many good things needs to be praised and recommended for your local community? So when you have this Amr Ma'ruf and Nahy Al-Munkar, don't think of it only as an Islamic principle among the Muslims. Even outside, you could be that person who could promote something that is good for the whole community and society, and that which is not. You know, one of the reasons I came to this community here in Irvine, I was told that this whole county, this whole area, is a dry area. They don't sell alcohol. And now when I arrived, they said, unfortunately, they started last year. And I was shocked. I said, why is that? It seems that when they passed the bill, the Muslims were minding their own business, as usual. They didn't even care about it. When I was in the Midwest, they were about to bring gambling machines in the county, in the area. And the entire faith groups of the community, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jewish people, were going and recruiting the churches and again, faith-based groups to go and sign a petition not to allow this to happen in our community. And we won, all of us collectively. Had it only be just group of that community started with that and the Muslims, they all were just spectators watching. Perhaps maybe one third, one quarter, Allah knows how many actually people will be participating in that petition. But you will definitely can make a big difference. Isn't this Amr Ma'ruf wa Nahy Al-Munkar in the proper way? You could have done something about it as a Muslim community. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say Amr Ma'ruf wa Nahy Al-Munkar, that is part of the rule of law. As a community, we believe in that. We believe in, and that's why the society at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was based on that. And the whole principle of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar is to make sure that there's always people who are monitoring and watching the fulfillment of these obligations. So it's a rule of law. You organize the system and the whole society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred this ummah because of that quality. قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there be an ummah, group of you amongst yourself. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. They call people to goodness. Such as what? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They enjoin good and they forbid evil. So that's one of the qualities of the Muslimin. The Muslim ummah, again, it's wherever you are. You're responsible as an individual, as a community, to promote good and forbid evil in the best way possible. Dealing with a diverse community like ours here is one of the greatest principles of Islam. You know, one of the beautiful principles of this deen, when the Prophet ﷺ came to the community, the ummah, he brought them this beautiful principle of accepting diversity. Meaning tolerating colors, ethnicities, tribal differences, all these issues. Overlooking all these issues for the bigger principle. So the strength of the Muslim ummah was through its diversity. That was a very dynamic community. SubhanAllah, America is closer to the early Muslim community of Medina than many of Muslim communities perhaps today. It's very diverse. And you as a Muslim community, you can play a major role in making this actually one of the strengths of this society and this community as well. Volunteerism. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala embraced Islam, they became the first volunteers in the history of Islam and Muslims. They sacrificed their time, their wealth, their money, everything. Even in dire necessities, when they needed the money the most, they gave it fi sabilillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. Altruism. That they prefer others over their needs, even though themselves in dire necessity for these issues, for dire need for that. Why? Because they volunteered. I can give this inshallah ta'ala later. But for now, they needed more. So they give. And that is a beautiful principle. They volunteer their time, their efforts, and many things they can afford volunteering. How many of you are volunteers? First of all, for their own Muslim community, your own center. How much do you volunteer for your center? let alone for the public library, hospital, or anywhere else might need volunteers in this community. And if we don't do that, then we're lacking so much in proving really that this community can be one of the most civilized, one of the most beautiful, organized, helping community in this entire society. You see, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the Muslim community doesn't really lack any kind of energy, resources, enthusiasm, principles, loyalties, patriotism, you name it. They don't lack that. But the unfortunate, they lack really just direction. You have it, you know where to go, all what you need is just to come and ask. If you have that energy and resources, come and ask. And we will help and we will assist one another, inshaAllah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, to prove it to the world that the Muslim community is definitely a great asset to every civilization and every area that they land. And wallahu ta'ala alam, aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum samas minna fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم أما بعد. سبحان الله, things happen wallahi for a reason. I mean, if this healing didn't happen, perhaps you would never hear this about this khutbah. And if you hearing like that didn't happen in the community, in this society, perhaps you will just continue in the same way that you're doing things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused people to stir some dust for you to go and see through and make sure that you do the right thing bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. And from this member, as an imam and as a member of this community, I advise every individual, man or woman, to take their part in this society. First of all, within your own community and your own Islamic center, your own family, and then the entire society. I encourage people to go and try to volunteer their time. And when I say volunteer, that doesn't mean you have to compromise your deen just in order to make sure that, you know, they see some Muslims around. You can be who you are, but you can still volunteer and help and assist others. You don't have to change the way you look in order just to be accepted. You can still be the way you are, the same person who you are. But with your spirit and your akhlaq and your manners, they can see big difference between what they hear about and what they see in your akhlaq and your practice. So I encourage all of you to find ways of volunteering. Let's begin with something very simple. If your children go to a school, I'm sure if you have children, they go to school already. Volunteer in their school. As a parent, if you have time, and I'm sure you can have time if you will, wallahi, you will have that time. You can get that time. You go and you volunteer. For what? Go and ask them. Tell them, you know, I know you might need volunteers. What exactly, guys, you need to do? So I can come 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, more or less. Just go. And if you feel embarrassed because you're alone, ask other parents whom you know that they send their kids to the same school and volunteer there. Slowly and gradually, you might become part of the board and the council. And bi-idhnillah, you bring good khair and policies, bi-idhnillah, azza wa jal, to the community. And if you have some time, there's a place, a public place like a public library. Many people from the whole neighborhood will go and attend there. Every now and then in a weekend, it would be good and healthy for some Muslims to go and participate. And they go and volunteer. Hospitals, they also need volunteers. So eventually, every aspect of your community, they might need volunteers. Even the city, if you go and ask, you will find some. Specifically, if you have spare time, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, that you can help with, go to your Muslim community and go to the local community and go there and be proud of who you are as a Muslim. Wallahi, if you do that, I guarantee you won't even hear about anything like hearings about radicalization in the Muslim community and its response to it. Because people, they know this is not the responsibility of the Muslims. It's the responsibility of the whole society. But targeting one particular group for that is definitely a preposterous and unacceptable suggestion. So as a Muslim community, through your action, you can make big difference. بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. عباد الله, إن الله ملائكة يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وارض اللهم عن خلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وأقم الصلاة.